welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on vaccination and avian flu when we come back. You know, this genocidal policy of Global 2000 and the New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And now, our national leaders have subscribed to a plan created by the Club of Rome, the United Nations, the Trilateral Commission, and a whole host and plethora of lesser policy-making think tanks to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years. Now, that's correct. It's 90%. Over the next 50 years. And that's why I contend that we ought not to delude ourselves into believing that we're going to stop all of these mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians in their insane scheme to enslave the world and to impose a worldwide tyranny, a new world order, upon all of us. But you and I do not have to participate in our own demise. We do not have to help finance them. We don't have to stand by and do nothing either. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists and philosophers, these preachers and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and to survive this Global 2000 and the New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to learn more about that, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational and it's informative. It's very entertaining and it's free of charge. It's gratis. Why don't you call right now? The number is 417-273-4967 to order yours. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now remember, our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email and then send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, last time we were talking about this thing of vaccination. Everybody wants to get vaccinated. Yesterday, I knocked on my daughter's door and I said, "It's time to get up, sweetheart, piano lessons." And she said, "Oh, piano lessons have been delayed this morning. The piano teacher is going to call me when she gets back from getting her flu shot." So the piano teacher now is protected against the avian flu, or at least she's protected against some kind of flu for this coming season, or so she believes. And millions of Americans, and indeed millions of people around the world, believe that once they get that flu shot, they're safe from the flu. Now, it's been reported here in the United States that flu every year kills 30,000 people. 30,000 people a year. And this creates fear. And fear creates sales. People buy things because of their motivators. We discovered this in an old book written by a fellow named Vance Packard back in 1958 called The Hidden Persuaders. What is it that persuades you to buy a Chevrolet rather than a Ford? Why is it that you buy one brand of cornflakes over another brand of cornflakes? Well, the color on the box motivates many of us, and maybe the taste motivates some others, and then maybe it's a desire that you have, it's a feeling that you get. It's something that makes you buy Kellogg's versus Post, or the generic Always Save brand over Libby's. And if you think about it for a moment, the experts, the psychologists and the psychiatrists, have worked this down to 5 basic motivators in human nature. That's all there is. Five basic motivators that motivate you to buy Kellogg's over Post, a Chevrolet over a Ford, or causes you to act in a certain way as opposed to another way. And those five motivators are vanity. Number one, right at the top of the list of vanity. Human beings are extremely vain, like peacocks strutting around trying to show others how smart they are or how great they are. Look at me. Notice me. I want you to see me. And we do all kinds of crazy antics to get people to notice us, especially when you're going through puberty and you're trying to impress that girl or that boy. You don't know how stupid you look at age 16 to the rest of us adults out here. But we all went through that same stage in life, and so we tolerate it and we smile and we go through these various stages in life. But it's a part and parcel with human nature. It's called vanity. Then there's jealousy, kind of the darker side of people. People are jealous. People are envious. And when somebody sees you driving this new Ford pickup, it makes me jealous and I want to go out and buy a new Ford pickup. Well, don't ever forget that the Ford salesman over there, when he gets the opportunity to rub a little jealousy into the equation, or the real estate broker, wouldn't you like to live in Bellwood Estates like Madonna? They appeal to your jealousy. So we got vanity, jealousy. Now we've got two kissing cousins, lust and greed. Now, lust is an inordinate desire to have something that you really ought not to have. You know, like sex. Now, sex, even by itself, per se, isn't bad, but some forms of sex are. You know, sex down at Flo's whorehouse, or sex from that prostitute, or sex from your neighbor's wife. Those are bad forms of a good thing. Then there's greed. There's just the naked desire of people to have more and more. You see this when people go to a smorgasbord. Now, when you go into the restaurant and you get in line and you pick up your plate, it's all you can eat. And you can go back as many times as you want. Now, watch the people who are already overweight and watch them pile the food on their plate. I mean, it's a study in human nature. Now, I'm an old man, and I don't eat nearly as much as I did when I was a young man out working, you know, in the trades. I used to eat pretty heavy because I expended a lot of calories. Now that I'm kind of old now, and I don't eat very much, I don't expend as many calories. So when I get in line, I put a little bit on my plate. Being a World War II kid, you had to clean your plate, you know, when you were raised during World War II. If you didn't clean your plate, you didn't get to go out. See, after dinner, we'd go out and play Red Rover and kick the can and hide and go seek, and you couldn't go out if you didn't clean your plate. Boy, I didn't want very much on my plate. So all of my life, I have learned to take three helpings. You take a little bit and you eat it. And if you still want more, you take more and you eat it. And then if you want more, you take more and you eat it. But you make sure your plate's clean. Americans don't do that. We Americans lard it on. And when you watch people who are already overweight and they load up their plates like, this is it. This is my shot. This is my chance. And if I don't get enough on my plate, I'm going to go hungry. And watch these people load their plate up. It is psychological greed. Psychological greed. Now, there's two motivators when we get down here to vaccination that comes into play. One is greed. The other is fear. The last motivator is called fear. Why do you have a driver's license? Because you're afraid that if you don't have a driver's license, the policeman, when he stops you for speeding, is going to arrest you and throw you in jail for not having a driver's license. You didn't go down there and get a driver's license because you wanted it, because you desired it. You don't register your car because you want to spend $100 to go down and get registration so you can put these vanity plates on your car and say, look at me. Look at my license plates. You get license plates because you're afraid that if you don't, you're going to have a penalty to pay. Fear. Now, fear is a motivator that causes you to buy insurance. You don't buy insurance because you want it. You buy insurance because you're afraid that your house is going to burn down or that the neighbor's going to slip and fall and sue you and cause you a lot of loss. And so they play to your fears. And that's what sells vaccination, fear. So they come to us and they tell us 30,000 people died last year because they didn't get their flu shots. Do you want to be one of them this year? No. No, I don't want to be one of the 30,000 people that dies of flu. I want to get in line and fight with my neighbor over the dwindling supply. Now, one of the things that helps sell something is a shortage. You know, when they come along and say, we've reached peak oil, we're running out of oil, 5 refineries are closed down, Hurricane Katrina has come in, it justifies the oil companies raising the prices, doesn't it? It isn't that the oil now is in short supply and it's costing more and more to get it out of the ground. The oil companies are having their greatest period of profits in their history right now, right at the peak oil. You'd think, you know, if they're going to raise prices, the normal marketplace says, well, it's costing more to get it out of the ground, and so therefore we have to pass these costs along to you. That isn't the case. And, of course, Hurricane Katrina and Rita didn't help us any. And Hurricane Stan isn't going to help the equation any out in the Gulf of Mexico. But to give you the perspective going into, should I get the flu shot in the first place? Let me repeat that. Should I get the flu shot? Let me ask you that question. Should you get a flu shot? You're already persuaded one way or the other. 89% of Americans believe in vaccination. They believe it works. They believe that it's good. They believe that it's harmless. They believe that everybody should get one. And only 11% of us believe that vaccinations are bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil, and you ought to avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD, along with flu, sore health. Only 11% of us are convinced that we ought not to get the flu shot. Now, I told you in the first program that I'm going to avoid flu and the flu vaccine like AIDS, herpes, and VD. I'm going to stay away from that. I'm not going to get close to it. I'm not going to town with the music teacher to get my vaccine. And I'm going to leave my share of the vaccine for you so that there won't be a shortage. I want to contribute to everyone in America having an opportunity to get their fair share of the flu vaccine this year. So I'm going to do my part by staying away. You can have my share. But I'm not the only guy that came to that conclusion. So I'm going to read to you a couple of articles here. A revolutionary concept meeting the needs of today. It's from the Advanced Health Plan and Education. Or the Advanced Health Plan equals education. It's a free newsletter. You can get it from www.advancedhealthplan, all one word, if you can spell that big long word, advancedhealthplan.com. Listen to this. Written by Dr. Joseph Mercola. Now, I want to point out, before I get into this article here, you've ever heard of a guy by the name of Robert Mendelsohn? Write that name down, Robert Mendelsohn. He wrote a series of books. He was a pediatrician. He lived in Illinois. And he was a medical school instructor. He was a doctor's teacher. He taught the doctors what the doctor needs to know. And he taught pediatrics in a university medical school. And he wrote a book called How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. And he wrote another book called Confessions of a Medical Heretic. He wrote a series of books. He's pretty funny. It's a good read. It's very interesting. And it's written from a doctor's point of view. And he reported in the book, I think it was the book on how to raise a healthy child in spite of your pediatrician. He said 90% of pediatricians do not vaccinate their children. All right. Now let me repeat that because I'm sure that you're shocked. 90% of pediatricians. Now a pediatrician is a baby doctor. That's a guy that specializes in babies. That's where all of you dumb mothers take your children to the doctor. Every time they have a sniffle or a cold, you're so incompetent, you don't know what to do about it. And so you rush off to the doctor, and the doctor's happy to see you. I mean, he gives the kid penicillin and shoots him up with this and that, and he looks at him, charges you $25, pats you on your little pointed head, and tells you that you're doing a great job raising this child. And he gives your kid 36. Remember, I've been reporting 35. It's up to 36 vaccinations by age 5. 36 recommended vaccinations by age 5. And the autism rate is up 1,000 or 1,200% over the past 20 years. That's autism. That's where your kid, you know, is sitting here rocking back and forth, you know, totally spaced out, doesn't know whether he's here or there, coming or going, or what he's going to do next. Now listen, I'm not here making fun of your child having autism. I mean, I can readily sympathize with you. I'm a father. I can imagine how I would feel if my child had it. I just want you to know that there's a cause and effect relationship. Vaccination is that cause and effect relationship. And with specificity, it's the mercury in the vaccinations. I'm going to show you that as we progress along. Well, pediatricians know that. Baby doctors know what causes autism. But they also know that it only causes autism in a very, very small percentage of children. It's less than 1%. If you take all of the millions of babies that are born every year, only a few thousand of them are going to get autism from all these vaccinations. And so they say, well, you know, sure, there's going to be some side effects, and yeah, there's going to be some people die, and that's the price you pay for good health. Now, if that's the risk you want to run, well, that's your business in life. You certainly have a right to do that. You're in the majority. 89% of people believe in vaccinations. But not all of us do. And not all of us want to take that risk. So read these two books by Robert Mendelsohn. 90%, and this is one of the conclusions he comes to. He was a pediatrician. He didn't vaccinate his children. I'm a plumber. I didn't vaccinate my children. All of them grew up. They were healthy and wealthy, and they're just in great health. Now, if you want to vaccinate your children, that's certainly a choice that you have to make, but I think you should see both sides of the coin. So let's take a look at the other side of the coin. Dr. Joseph Mercola said, like diehard fans camping out overnight to be the first in line for concert tickets to their favorite performer, people are waiting in long lines hoping to get the flu vaccine. Yes, it's that time of year. Flu season and the media and the government have stirred the public into complete panic mode. Headlines flood newspaper reading. Vaccine shortage leads public crisis. And on the hour radio broadcasts are bombarding the public with reports that the flu epidemic is coming and there aren't enough vaccines to fight it. So before you run out and get the flu shot, why don't you do your homework? And it's becoming increasingly difficult to separate facts from hype created by the media and government officials. So in order to make an informed decision of whether or not to get a flu shot, it's of utmost importance to do your homework first. And this involves doing thorough research of the safety issues surrounding the flu vaccination and then learn the preventive measures against getting the flu in the first place. The target markets for the flu vaccine are the elderly and children. Now, generally, the flu vaccine is recommended for people ages 65 and older and to those with serious medical conditions that could quickly worsen as a result of serious complications from the flu. Reports from medical journals widely vary in the effectiveness for the elderly, ranging from 0 to 85%. Did you get that, boys and girls? So if you're an old man like me, the effectiveness of the flu vaccine ranges from 0, that is none, to 85%, which means that it's 15% ineffective. Now the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control, reports that 90% of the deaths from influenza occur among the elderly. 90% of the deaths from the flu occur among the elderly. Now, they're telling us that 30,000 people a year are dying from the flu. Well, if 90% of 30,000, that's 27,000 people, are dying from the flu, they're 65 or older. All right? 3,000 are younger people. We presume those are the children or healthy people that got the flu vaccine. Only 10% of you people out there, that's children and normal, everyday garden variety people, have any concern about the flu to start with. Just look at the numbers. Now, if you're 65 or older, you know, maybe you should all run out and get your flu shot. But if you're under 65 years old, you can see by the numbers right there, your chances are only 10%. Now, further, there are potential dangers to the flu vaccine, particularly to the already vulnerable elderly population. All right, now listen up, you old folks. Dr. Hugh Feudenberg, one of the world's leading immunogeneticists, states, the chance of getting Alzheimer's disease is 10 times higher if an individual has 5 consecutive shots than if they have 1, 2, or no shots at all. And this is likely due to the thimerosal, a mercury-derived preservative and aluminum content of the vaccine. All right, so now you old folks out there, if you have been getting your vaccine over the last 10 years and you get 5 consecutive shots, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, out of any of those 10 years, your chances of getting Alzheimer's are now 10 times greater than the population in general. Let me give you another fact here. You know, this autism was unheard of in 1950. But in 1950, we were only giving, I think it was 2 or 3 shots to children. Today, babies starting at age 6 months up to 5 years, during that 5-year period, will get 36 vaccinations, and most of those vaccinations have thimerosal. Well, out in California the other day, 2 or 3 years ago, somebody woke up and said, you know, there's a question in our mind as to whether or not this mercury in the vaccines is causing this autism. So they banned it. The legislature banned thimerosal in the vaccines out in California. And guess what happened in California? The rate of autism has plummeted. They discovered in Japan some years back, I don't know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago maybe now, that by postponing vaccinations in babies from 6 months to 2 years, see, they recommend that you start vaccinating your baby at age 6 months. The Japanese discovered that if you don't vaccinate babies at 6 months, a year and a half, you wait until they're 2 years old, first of all, and then you start the vaccine, that the rate of SIDS, that sudden infant death syndrome, drops by 50%. 50%. Now, I just point that out to you so that you can put that into the equation and then help make a decision. Now, I looked at some of these facts and figures. I haven't gotten to all of them yet, but I take a look at this number here. Now, I'm 65. And I look at this. My chances of getting Alzheimer's disease are 10 times greater if I have 5 consecutive shots in a 10-year period. It multiplies it by 10 times. And I say to myself, let's see, would I rather risk flu or would I rather risk Alzheimer's? Now, remember, I reported this thing to you, I think yesterday or the day before, that they're recommending that babies starting at age 6 months get their flu shot. And then every year from then on, this child then, if we follow the CDC recommendations, if we follow the pharmaceutical companies, the doctors, and the CDC, and all of these experts and these paid professionals, if we follow their advice, we're going to take our baby and shoot him up with the flu shot at age 6 months, and then at 1 year and 6 months, and then 2 years and 6 months, and 3 years and 6 months, and 5 years and 6 months, and 10 years and 6 months. I mean, by the time this kid is 18 years old and graduates from high school, he will have had 17 vaccinations, won't he? In succession, every year. And then it goes up from there. Then from 17 to 34, he'll have another 17 vaccinations, won't he? You know, and then from 34 to 44 to 54 to 64, do you think that if we could vaccinate somebody every year for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, that instead of increasing their rate of autism by 10 times that we could guarantee it as an absolute certainty. That there is absolutely no doubt that by the time we give you 10, 20, 30, or 40 flu vaccines laced with thimerosal, we can guarantee you 100% of the time that you will develop Alzheimer's disease. Now, is that what you want? Because that's what they're offering. Now, I wouldn't take that program if you gave it to me free, but they want to charge me $25. That's what the rate is around my neck of the woods over here for this flu shot. They want me to pay them $25 for this vaccine. If we had a virus store down the street and it said, "Well, come in, we sell viruses. We have HIV virus over here, and over here we have the polio virus, and over here we have the flu virus, and over here, and $25 for a flu virus and $75 for an HIV virus, and it will shoot you up." Do you think that would sell? If you put the flu store next to Best Buy, in between Pet Express and Best Buy, and sitting between these two popular stores, here's the flu store, here's the vaccine store, here's the virus store. Do you think anybody would go in there and buy that? You have to have a motivator. You've got to get people motivated to buy this virus. You know, to roll up your sleeve and have somebody stick a needle into your arm and shoot snake venom and monkey pus into your veins. You got to be motivated to do that. And the motivation is fear. Your fear of dying from the flu. Your fear is greater than your fear of the virus. And so they tell you, well, it's perfectly safe. You know, your pediatrician tells you that all of these 36 shots for your child between 6 months and 5 years are perfectly safe. Somebody woke up out in California and said, well, let's test that theory. And when they tested the theory, they found out that, yeah, they're still giving them the 36 shots, but they're giving them the 36 shots without the thimerosal, without the mercury. And they noticed that the Alzheimer's rate, or not Alzheimer's, but autism rate, is dropping through the floor. And that's good. That's good. That's wonderful. Who in the hell wants their child laced with autism? Now, the reason that the medical community has not admitted this in the past, they all know it. But they know they're going to get sued. Just like Vioxx, Merck is going to pay out billions of dollars because of this bad drug called Vioxx. And after all, they ought to pay. They've caused a lot of pain, suffering, anguish, and damage. They went out into the marketplace and they convinced you people that you ought to take Vioxx. And it caused a lot of heart disease and it caused a lot of people to die. And they ought to pay. And I think that the vaccine, the industry, the pharmaceuticals ought to pay. For every child that is suffering from autism, the pharmaceutical companies ought to pay for that. But they don't. And they won't because the politicians enacted a law that shields them from any liability. So if you take your child in and get him shot up and he develops autism or dies or has any kind of side effects, too bad. And that's because all vaccinations are done voluntarily. They're all voluntary. And in fact, you got to take your kid in and pay money to get the vaccine. Now, they tell you it's mandatory. That's not true. Because there's two exceptions to the rule. Medical waivers and religious re-exercise. And there's a waiver. You don't have to have any vaccinations at all. Zero, zilch, none. It's just that you don't know how to avoid it. And 89% of you really don't want to avoid it anyway. Only 11% do. And the 11% are cunningly coerced into getting vaccines that they don't want, can't use, shouldn't have, and don't need because of fear. You're afraid of what might happen to you if you don't get your kid shot up with these vaccines. Now, does the flu vaccine really work? That's the other side of the equation here. Is this flu vaccine really good? Does it really protect you from the flu? Hang on, I'll give you a reminder, and we'll come back and take a look at them. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our webpage. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, history, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Remember, that's free of charge. And to order yours, just call the law school director and ask for it. It's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, let me remind you also that the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit, rather, to the authors and publishers and publications that we use on this program. Just bear with me, I'll get it out. And we often endorse and recommend these books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, keep in mind that these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or the publications that we endorse are necessarily going to recommend or endorse the Law Hour or editorial review. They may think that we're a bunch of kooks and nuts. Now, most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or other ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints are not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. So just because I recommend a book, a periodical, a paper, or something like that, doesn't mean that I'm recommending Catholicism because I recommend a Catholic book. All right, now the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. So for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Be sure to order that free general law CD package. Remember, it's free of charge. A lot of static here today. All right. Remember, this flu vaccine can actually weaken your immune system and make you more predisposed to the illness. The flu vaccine, whether in the shot or nasal form, is worthless at best and should be avoided. Not only are they loaded with toxic chemicals, including mercury and aluminum, but many people come down with the flu shortly after receiving their flu vaccine. This is because it actually weakens your immune system, making the person more predisposed to the illness. The dangers you need to know about flu mist are, first, it is important to familiarize yourself with the side effects of flu mist, which includes cough, runny nose, nasal congestion, irritability, headache, chills, muscle aches, and fever. Ironically, all of these symptoms bear striking similarities to the symptoms of the flu. Gee, I wonder if it's because it gives you the flu. In addition, research has shown an increased risk of Bell palsy following intranasal flu vaccination, according to the Global Advisory Committee on Vaccine Safety. That's called GACVS. The makers of the nasal flu vaccine in the study decided not to market it the following season due to this risk. And according to the GACVS, the greater risk of Bell palsy following immunization with this vaccine may have been due to specific vaccine components or simply to use the intranasal administration route. It is therefore possible that such complications of vaccine administration may also apply to other nasal vaccines. The new live virus vaccine, FluMist, which is squirted up the nose, was licensed by the FDA in June of 2003 for use in healthy individuals between the ages of 5 and 50. It is not recommended for pregnant women or those with asthma, chronic lung, or heart disease. Chronic underlying medical conditions such as diabetes or kidney disorders, immune suppression or immune system problems, children or adolescents receiving aspirin therapy, or anyone allergic to eggs, or those with a history of Guillain-Barré syndrome, it should not be given simultaneously with other vaccines. All right, now let me point something out to you. I'll show you here that there is a form that you can fill out called Refusal of Recommended Vaccines. Refusal of Recommended Vaccines. One of the grounds for refusing vaccines is that I'm allergic to the components, or I have a medical history of diabetes or some other chronic ailment for which this vaccine will exacerbate my pre-existing condition, or it could kill me. You know, not everyone can take these vaccines. They have a medical waiver or a medical exemption. If you've already got AIDS, getting this vaccine could kill you because you're already suffering from an immune suppression disorder. So when you have a law that says everyone has to be vaccinated, if your child has asthma, he can be exempted. I mean, come on, boys and girls, let's start thinking for ourselves for a change. Instead of letting the government and the medical establishment and the pharmaceutical industry and all of these moneyed interests do our thinking for us, why don't we do something really wild and off the wall and start thinking for ourselves? It's a wild new concept. Now, what's in the flu shot? You ever wonder about that? What's in that thing? Well, FluMist vaccine live virus is shed after vaccination so that the vaccinated are advised to avoid close contact with immune-compromised individuals for at least 21 days. Well, that makes sense. We have just given you the flu. If you're a strong individual, your immune system will ward it off. If you're a weak individual, you will come down with the flu. In any event, you are now a flu carrier, Typhoid Mary. So you're going to be giving the flu to other people because your body is the incubation vehicle for the next 3 weeks. Does this make any sense to you? I'm going to go into the virus store, and they're going to shoot me up with this virus, and then I'm going to go out on the street and spread this virus to everybody else. Hey, hang on a second. I thought we wanted to avoid the flu. I thought we wanted to eradicate this flu. That this flu was bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil, and we wanted to avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. So we go in and we get this flu vaccine, and then we go out on the street for 21 days and we spread it to others. Now, isn't that just special? Now remember, I showed you that the Bible has a quarantine law. This violates the Bible's quarantine law, boys and girls, of which there's 8 statutes that tell you that sick people need to be kept apart. It's against the law for you to go get this vaccine and go out on the street and spread it to other people. Doesn't make any sense to start with, but it's also a violation of the Mosaic Law. Now, news reports have been flooding us with articles warning that the impending flu season may be the worst in years. Even though it's difficult to separate the facts from the hype, a close evaluation of the flu vaccine will reveal that serious questions must be raised about the recommendations that are routinely touted, namely high efficacy with little risk. Anyone considering a flu shot should become informed about the substances coming through the needle and should be determined to investigate the safety and the efficacy issues that are still unresolved. Now, the vaccine virus, number one. Every year, a new vaccine is developed that contains three different viruses. One is called influenza B, and two are called influenza A strains. Now, the Center for Disease Control officials select the new viruses based on which viruses were prevalent during the flu season in China and Australia the previous year. Now, the CDC admits that the viruses that they select for the new vaccine for this year are chosen on the basis of an educated guess. Now, I underline the word educated guess because, boys and girls, educated guesses is not based upon science. That's not science. Science is knowledge, not an educated guess. Now, I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success. If you want to get shot up with vaccines based upon an educated guess, it's a choice that you make. Just like my daughter's music teacher made a choice and took 3 hours out of her busy schedule to go to town to get her vaccine. And more power to her. I think that that music teacher should have the right to choose. I think every American should have the right to choose whether he wants the vaccine or not. And the 89% of you people out there that want the vaccine, by God, you should have the right to go out and exercise your right to choose. What I'm objecting to is that I don't want you 89% enforcing your right to choose onto me. I want my right to choose also. I want my right to choose no vaccine. How's that? I know, it's a wild reactionary concept that the minority should also have a right to choose. But that's the way I am. I'd like to be able to choose also, even though I'm in that minority of 11%. I don't want it. But I want all of you people who do want it to have your opportunity to go out and get shot up with it. I want all of you people to have the opportunity for the next 5 years to get a shot every year and increase your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease by 10 times. I also think that you ought to be informed that you run that risk. And I don't think over here at the virus store they're telling you all the facts. I don't think you're getting the whole story. They're telling you 30,000 people are going to die this year from the flu. You better come in and get your flu virus. Let's shoot you up with flu virus. They're not telling you about the Alzheimer's side effects. Well, I think that you ought to be fully informed. And then when you go out and make your choice, yes, I'm going to have my flu vaccine. Yes, I understand that I'm running a 10 times greater risk of getting Alzheimer's, but I would rather risk getting Alzheimer's than to risk getting the flu. Now, you know, millions of people get the flu every year. There are people just like me. They didn't get any vaccine. They got the flu, and then they didn't die. Now, they tell us 30,000 are dying. I question whether 30,000 people are dying from the flu. I kind of doubt that. But then, hell, maybe it's true. 2.5 million people are going to die here in the United States in the year 2005. That's the death rate. 2.5 million people every year are going to die. Some of those people are going to die by getting run over by Peterbilt trucks. That doesn't tell me that I should walk or ride a bicycle rather than ride in or drive a car down the road because a lot of people get killed in Peterbilt trucks. But then, you know, maybe that's a choice that you want to make. And I think you ought to have that right to choose. But I think you ought to have full disclosure. And boys and girls, we're not getting full disclosure. So what's in this flu shot? Well, the influenza virus is grown in specific pathogen-free SPF eggs. Eggs are tested for a variety of agents, usually between 23 and 31 agents, to confirm the absence of those specific pathogens. Laboratories limit the number of agents that are screened due to the sheer abundance of potential viruses and/or bacteria to choose from. So in addition, screening for every potential agent would be cost prohibitive. If none of the tested agents are detected, the vaccine is reported as being pathogen-free. However, you should understand that there's a big difference between being pathogen-free and being specific pathogen-free. Remember, you got pathogen-free and you got specific pathogen-free. So the advertisement says that this vaccine is safe because it's pathogen-free. That's not true. It is specific pathogen-free. They've tested it for 31 specific pathogens. There are thousands of pathogens out there. And they can guarantee that it doesn't have these 31. But these other thousands that are out there, we don't know whether it's in there or not because we didn't test for those. And in its July 1996 report, the Institute of Medicine acknowledged that although it is not possible to produce a completely uncontaminated animal, it is possible to produce an animal or egg certified to be free of specific pathogens. See, we can guarantee you that this egg does not have any polio virus in it. We cannot guarantee that it doesn't have any HIV virus. Or some other virus, or some other bacteria, or some other pathogen, or some other toxic chemical like thimerosal or aluminum. Because we add that as a preservative. Now, viruses that are harmless to their animal host, however, may be potentially harmful to humans. Now, during the manufacturing process, antibiotics like neomycin, polymyxin, B and gentamicin are added to eliminate stray bacteria found in the mixture. And then the final solution can contain the following additives in any combination: Triton X100, a detergent, polysorbate 80, a potential carcinogen, gelatin, formaldehyde, a deadly poison, and residual egg proteins. In addition, many of the influenza vaccines still contain thimerosal as a preservative. Thimerosal is mercury, and it's being investigated for its link to brain injury and autoimmune disease. Now, does the flu shot protect you? Are you protected when you get a flu shot? There are no guarantees that the influenza viruses that have been selected for the vaccine will be the identical strains circulating during any given flu season. It's a crapshoot at best. In fact, it has recently been announced that this year's flu vaccine does not include the strain that is being reported by doctors in the community called the A. Fujian strain. Outbreaks have been reported in Texas, Colorado, and elsewhere that involve strains that do not match the current flu vaccine for 2005. The CDC tests have confirmed that more than 80% of the 55 strains of influenza virus isolated thus far are the A. Fujian strain. Even so, the CDC still maintains that the current vaccine could provide cross-protection against the new variant. But the fact is, no one knows for sure. So the odds are 55-1 that the vaccine has absolutely no protection whatsoever. You got one chance in 55 that this vaccine is going to work. Did you get that? One chance in 55. The odds are 55-1 that it isn't going to have any effect. Now listen, here's the way this game's being played. 1 million people go out and get a flu shot. And 35 of them die. They just fall over dead. That's the price that you pay for good medicine. Most of the people that get these vaccines are strong, healthy people, and their immune system will ward it off, and the doctor gets $25, the pharmaceutical company makes money, the government gets your vote, and everybody's happy.
Whether or not it works is irrelevant and immaterial. It didn't hurt you. And it's like one of these double blind tests, you know, where they give you this serum and a placebo. Half the people get the serum and half the people get sugar water. And the people that are getting the sugar water will testify. They'll go to court and raise their right hand and swear to God that they feel better because of this trial, this test that they're on. They can feel the difference. No, they're getting sugar water. They're not getting the serum. And so there's a placebo effect. I mean, you can go out and get your flu shot and just feel a lot better knowing that you're safer with the flu shot. And if that makes you feel good, my God, go out and get one. It doesn't kill very many people. It only kills 30,000. But more than likely, the 30,000 people that die every year, if in fact that's the correct number, are dying because of the flu shot, not in spite of it. Now, I'm an old man. I haven't had a flu shot, and I'm not going to get one. And I'm going to avoid the flu as best I can. I work on strengthening my immune system. All disease is cured by your immune system, not by vaccine, snake venom, and monkey pus. And by impairing your immune system, it doesn't help you. Strengthening your immune system would help you. Now, there's a serious concern about Alzheimer's disease here. Hugh Feudenberg, MD, an immunogeneticist. I mean, this is a big word, immunogeneticist, and biologist with nearly 850 papers published in peer-reviewed journals, has reported that if an individual had five consecutive flu shots between 1970 and 1980, the year studied, his or her chances of getting Alzheimer's disease is 10 times higher than if they had zero, that is, one or two shots. Zero, one, or two during a 10-year period versus five consecutive. That's one, two, three, four, five during a 10-year period. Increases your chances by 10 times. Oh, isn't that just real special? Now, Dr. Boyd Haley, professor and chair of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky, Lexington, has done extensive research in the area of mercury toxicity in the brain. Haley's research has established a likely connection between mercury toxicity and Alzheimer's disease. And in a paper published in collaboration with researchers at the University of Calgary, Haley stated that seven of the characteristic markers that we look for to distinguish Alzheimer's disease can be produced in normal brain tissues or cultures of neurons by the addition of extremely low levels of mercury. So, listen, boys and girls, the connecting link now between mercury and Alzheimer's disease and autism is becoming clearer and clearer. And out in California, they've banned mercury now in childhood vaccines. I don't know if they've banned it in all vaccines, but they banned it in childhood vaccines. And autism has gone down, and that's good. That's wonderful. I hope every state in the union does that, and that's good. But they're not doing it because they want to. They're doing it because they have to. It's like Vioxx. They didn't take Vioxx off the market, you know, because they wanted to, because it was bad for you. They took it off the market because it's gotten to the point where we can't cover it up and hide it anymore, and the potential for lawsuits is so great, we better cut our losses right here. Vioxx was a very profitable drug. And people who took Vioxx believed in it. I mean, when people are spending money, you know, lots of money on drugs, they believe in those drugs. I don't deny that. And here I am coming over the air, destroying your belief in drugs. Well, that's not my point. I don't care whether you take drugs or not. You should be fully informed. And down here at the virus store, they don't inform you as to the side effects. They inform you about all the good things that come from vaccination. And assuming that there may be some good things about vaccination, there are some bad things that you should be informed of. And then make an informed decision. It's a choice that you make. If you want to make the choice to get shot up, go do it. Don't let me get in your way. And then if you look at it and say, geez, I'm not quite so sure, then avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. But do something about the flu. I'm not advocating that you just sit out here and do absolutely nothing. Concentrate on other solutions for the flu. You know, there's a lot of us out here that take vitamin pills. Vitamins. I think vitamins will do more for you than taking than thimerosal, you know, mercury, into your body. I think that if you took vitamins, there are a lot of people who say, these vitamins are totally useless. Yeah, but it makes me feel better. I take these vitamins, and it's like a placebo. Yeah, I understand that. It doesn't do jack squat for me. It's just expensive urine. But, you know, it makes me feel good, and then I don't take these vaccines, and it doesn't cost me any more than the vaccines. I mean, hell, if I was out here getting shot up with these vaccines, well, I'd be spending the same amount of money as I'm spending on vitamins. And the vitamins, maybe they're doing me some good, and maybe they're not doing me any good. But I've never heard of anybody getting autism from vitamin pills, at least not yet. Now, one of these days, somebody's liable to come along with a study and say, oh my God, one a day, multiple vitamins cause autism. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if I heard something like that. We hear that about every day. Somebody comes along and says, coffee causes this or that, or we found out that sugar causes such and such and so and so, and nicotine causes lung cancer and so on and so forth. I mean, you know, things that we used to imbibe in and think were perfectly safe, we found out later weren't as safe as we thought they were. So just tuck that away in your heart. Well, listen, you can get a copy of this report. I can't read all of these reports to you. Why don't you go to Advanced Health Plan. That's ADVANCED, Advanced Health, HEALTH, Health Plan, PLAN. It's all one word. www.advancedhealthplan.com and get the report for yourself. And then we'll take a look next time at flu crimes at the CDC. Now, this thing of flu is serious. Flu is serious. It's not serious because the flu oven by itself is going to kill you, but the medicine that you're taking to prevent the flu is going to kill you, give you Alzheimer's disease, or do something else that's bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil to you. And you ought to be informed of that. So we'll start next time with flu crimes at the CDC. And then I'm going to take you through a book here called The Poisoned Needle. Well, not just the flu, but we'll take a look at all of the vaccines that have been developed over the years and what these vaccines have done statistically. That, you know, the government came out and said, you have to have this vaccine for smallpox. And the rate of deaths with smallpox were at a level, 10,000 a year. And then after they had compulsory smallpox vaccination, they went up to 27,000 a year. Nearly tripled, more than doubled, the number of people that died after the vaccines went into effect. And then when the vaccines are withdrawn, the death rate goes down. Did you know that those statistics have been available to us since the 1870s? 135 years, we've known that these vaccines kill people, and that when you increase the level of vaccination, the death rate goes up, and when you reduce it, it goes down. And I'll show you that starting next time. Well, we're just about out of time. Let me give you your final reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember that the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Remember, be sure to order yours. It's free of charge. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, history, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So thanks for listening, and good night, friends.